Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on the 32nd Sunday of Ordinary Time. I'm Barbara Little here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and this morning we will hear and discuss the Gospel from St. Luke. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
You still have time to register for the 25th anniversary Diocese of Corpus Christi Ministry Conference entitled The New Evangelization at the American Bank Center on January 11th with keynote speaker Dr. Peter Murphy, Executive Director of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops and Secretariat for Evangelization and Catechesis. This conference is open to anyone interested in learning more about their Catholic faith and will feature talks in Spanish and a youth track. Topics include evangelization and catechesis, family life, vocation, stewardship, youth ministry, communication, Catholic school, Hispanic ministry, liturgical music and worship, young adult ministry, and life, justice, and human dignity. For complete details, call the Chancery Office, 882-6191, or visit diocesecc.org/ministry conference.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
Fine, Barbara. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I hope everyone else that's listening is well today and ready for a beautiful Sunday.
I know. Wonderful November day. Well, our gospel today is from St. Luke, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
Okay. And it's from St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 27 to 38, one that gospel that we all know, but probably we get a little confused on.
It'll raise some questions.
Raises a bunch of questions. Some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection, came forward and put this question to Jesus, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us, if someone's brother dies, leaving a wife but no child, his brother must take the wife and raise up descendants for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married a woman but died childless. Then the second and the third married her. And likewise all the seven died childless. Finally the woman also died. Now in the resurrection, whose wife will that woman be? For all seven had been married to her." Jesus said to them, "The children of this age marry and remarry. But for those who are deemed worthy to attain the coming age and to the resurrection of the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. They can no longer die, for they are like angels, and they are the children of God, because they are the ones who will rise. That the dead will rise, even Moses made known in the passage about the bush, when he called out, 'Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' And he is not God of the dead, but of the living. For to him all are alive." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this is a very interesting gospel and a very tricky question that the Sadducees put to.
And it's always your duty to ask the questions. So get
the
me started.
Inquiring minds questions. Well, as I was researching this, it said that the question that they are posing to Jesus is like the third in a series of three. So they're asking this wife, who's a childless widow, you know, they're trying to say, does resurrection must not be really true, because
right.
Who would this woman, they're thinking in earthly terms,
right.
Who would this woman be with? And I guess that's trying to change our thinking too, because we can't think in human terms when it comes to the resurrection.
Right. And as you point out, the Sadducees themselves did not believe in the resurrection. And we see that a couple of times pointed out in the Gospels, whereas the Pharisees did. So obviously they are trying to prove their point, as anybody would in life. They have a stance and When they meet somebody with an opposite opinion or an opposite reality, they try to disprove them. So they present this rather bizarre situation of a woman married to a man and remained childless, and then six more brothers and all died, and she remained childless. So she had no link to any of them through a bloodline with a child. So when she dies, now she's in heaven. Well, who's her husband? And so it's they're trying to make a situation as absurd as possible, and putting Jesus in the point of, okay, now where does she go? How does she fit into the story? Well, I mean, you know, that's in human reality. Yeah, whose wife she is she? But Jesus points out to defend or to express that there is heaven. She doesn't belong to any of them, because in heaven we don't marry or are given in marriage. We simply are God's children, all of us. I know through a personal encounter through my ministry that one person for many, many years, you know, obviously a widow and obviously very much in love with her husband, and just longing to see him, you know. And when I get to heaven, will I see him? Will I be able to be with him and touch him and know that he's alive? And that, you know, and these are human concerns that we have. So we almost project into eternity what we experience here on earth. But I think the point here is that Jesus is trying to point out to us that eternity is far different from what we experience here on earth. We can't think in those terms. Many times we use human language, human reality to express or to help us understand better the things that are eternal. But the reality of eternity, the reality of heaven, the reality of eternal life is so much different from what it is here. And this is what Jesus is trying to point out to them, that there is no marriage in heaven. We are all equal. There is no male, female. The things that make us distinct in this life will be gone. I mean, we don't need all that, because we will be with God. We will be the children of God in eternity, mm-hmm. for all eternity.
So he, of course, in order to explain the reasoning about this, you know, he used a language and an argument that they could understand, because he referred to Exodus, in which the Sadducees would be familiar. He explained that rising to life is not about whether one is married or remarried or had children in this world. Rather, it's about the children of God believing in the living God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that they understood.
Right. Right. Yes, because they accepted only the written Torah, the scriptures. So whereas the Pharisees added on the other writings of Judaism at the time. But they only this. So it was a bit confusing. But I think one of the other points that really is being brought to our attention here is the very reality of marriage here in this life. Unfortunately, right now, and I don't hate to always sound pessimistic, I hope I don't sound pessimistic, but the state of marriage, unfortunately, in our society, I don't mean there's so many wonderful people who enter into a real covenant relationship with another person, a male and female, enter into this covenant relationship of mutuality. But there's so many in general, you know, that are we see so many scenes of people going and having the most lavish weddings or weddings in the most exotic places. But, you know, that's really placing more emphasis on them themselves and their relationship. But a true marriage has to be a covenant between a man and a woman. And the covenant is between them, but it also is between God and them. So that God is brought into that, because it's his love that they share, in which they share. It's his commandments that they try to live out in their life, in their marriage. I mean, if we can just go back to the Word of Life for November, mm-hmm. we can see, just think of what a covenant relationship here on earth would be in a marriage. And so if a married couple, a man and a woman, could live out, be kind to one another, I mean 24/7,
right,
for the rest of your life, be tender-hearted toward each other, to forgive one another, and St. Paul says, never let the sun go down on your anger, as God in Christ has forgiven you. So there again, from what we're just trying to live out this month in this Word of Life, applied to marriage, that's a covenant. Two people that enter into that relationship, they realize then that their relationship is not only human, because it certainly is that, mm-hmm, but it also has the seed of the divine. They are children of God, and they are children of God because they share in His love, which is a covenant love, which involves being kind to each other, tender-hearted, and forgiving. So what my point is, living marriage today in a covenant relationship such as that prepares them to understand that their love will not die in heaven, it will be perfected. Mm-hmm. But not in the human way, but in the divine way, in the eternal way, that they'll be perfected in God, because we will see Him, as St. John says, we're already children of God now. What we will be is not yet been revealed, but we know that when we see God face to face, that we will understand true love. And it will not be just an exclusive human relationship with another person, which we have fostered here on earth, but it will be a relationship in God, because both of us, all of us, will be directed to God, and that all of our relationships in heaven will be that communion of saints, that there is no more strife, there is no more indifference, there is no more prejudice, there is no more judgment of each other, etc.
No war.
All those things will be perfected in heaven. So when Jesus is pointing out to the Sadducees here that she'll be no one's wife, because we don't have that in heaven, what we have there is the perfection of love in God, which a husband and wife begin that journey together in Christ in a sacramental marriage. They begin to journey and understand, as they get closer and closer to that point of leaving this world, that their love is only a foretaste of the eternal love that they will share for all eternity. Mm-hmm. And that's the reality of marriage that Jesus is bringing out, and that's the reality of marriage that the Church has always held on to and wants to continue to foster, especially among the young people that are, you know, finding a vocation
to marry. Sometimes it's forgotten.
Very much forgotten. And it, you know, because it just so much relies upon the human side, you know, the sexual side, the physical attraction, you know, the possessions, and all of these
monetary
things that seem to be important to people, but in the reality, it weighs us down, and we spend so much time fostering these things in a relationship, but it doesn't sustain us. Just the part of having possessions together, even having children. But that doesn't sustain a marriage, a relationship. It's only that love that is God that sustains true relationship and prepares one to experience God in eternity.
And I talk about marriage. It's always interesting when you hear couples that have been married 50 or 60 or 70 years, and they say, and there's
stories.
Always the question, what's the secret to your success? And, you know, one will look at the other and say, to forgive,
yeah,
or let the other one do what they want to do, and I'm okay with it. You know,
right.
And it's just those basic things. It wasn't the wedding that happened 70 years ago.
No.
And
it's what they built together.
Exactly.
Sure.
Beautiful. Well, thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will continue our conversation on the gospel. Please stay with us, and we'll be right back.
It may seem a bit early to tell you about this, but actually, Christmas is not that far away. The St. Patrick's Parish Altar and Rosary Society, 3350 South Alameda, will hold their annual Christmas Bazaar on Saturday, November 16th, from 9 a.m. till 5 p.m. It's an opportunity to get your Christmas shopping behind you early this year. There'll be vendors of many types, along with arts, crafts, and baked goods to choose from, a collectibles booth, as well as a silent auction. For more specifics, call 855-7391. Advent is a time set aside in the liturgical calendar for reflection, recollection, and anticipation as we wait for the arrival of the incarnation of the Word. The Committee for Institutes of Consecrated Life will host an Advent morning of recollection at St. Philip the Apostle Youth Center, 3513 Cimarron Road in Corpus Christi. The morning will begin with Mass at 8:30. For more information, call Sister Annette Wagner, 882-6191.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Bishop, during the break, we were talking about couples that have been married for a long time and what they say their secret to a long and happy marriages. Right. And you mentioned that you have a story to tell our audience.
Yeah, there was I may have told this before, but it just when you started talking about that at the before the break, I just recounted again the story of this couple, and they were in one of my first parishes, and I was an assistant pastor, associate pastor in the parish, but later I was in another parish, another town in Central Texas, and they showed up one day, and they had just come to daily Mass. Of course, it surprised me, and I think it surprised them. They didn't know where I had gone. But, you know, 50 years, I forget how many years they were married, but still holding hands as they came out of church. And so we started talking, and I asked them that similar question, what's the secret here? You look still so much in love and smiling. Her name was Frances. And I'm sure they're both looking at God's face now, right, because it was several years ago and they were already way advanced in age. But she said, you know, when we started out day one in our married life, we agreed on some things, some principles. And they were that we would have a meal together every day. And when the kids came, every night we would sit down for a meal. And we would begin by reading a verse from the gospel, and that we would also go to Mass together on Sundays as a family. And she said, Father, at the time, she said, Father, I think that has been our secret, that we have based everything in our life with God, that God is first in our marriage. And I just have always remembered, I could go back and take you to the very spot that she told me that, wow, or that they told me that. It was just so powerful to me as a young priest, you know, starting off and realizing that, you know, we all have dreams and ideals, and we all think that this is going to be the perfect life, and, you know, I'm going to be the perfect gift to humanity and all those things that we all start off with. But, you know, what are the principles that drive our life? And today, again, going back to our society, how many people say, well, once we get the house and once we get the car and once we get this and once we get this, then we'll get married, but we're already living together. I mean,
right,
you know, it's these inverted kind of value system that is fostered by the world around us but will not bring us to true happiness. And right, so it's the values that are eternal in all of our lives. I'm not talking just about married couples either. I mean, as a priest, you know, I learned early is don't put the priesthood first. God's first. You know, you're a priest because of God's gift that he wants you to share in, to share with other people, to give to other people. But don't make yourself, you know, out to be the Lord and Savior of all things. He's already done that for us. But we're here as a servant. So to put God first is the key element here. And I think that's what Jesus is bringing out here, because in the very end he says that he is not the God of the dead but of the living. And he himself and for him all are alive. So everything belongs to God. We are surrounded by that one reality. Just a few weeks ago we celebrated the Feast of All Saints. And the psalm response was so beautiful. I mean, I heard it during the two masses that I celebrated for that for the Feast of All Saints. Lord, this is the people that longs to see your face. That should be at the very core of our being, you know. In fact, I said Mass with the students at Incarnate Word. And, you know, it's hard because right, you got pre-K 3 and seniors in high school and adults.
How do you deliver a homily for that audience?
Yeah. Right. But I just ask everybody, just think about it. Have you ever said, I want to see God? And I would ask everyone to consider that. Do you really want to see God? And that's the longing that the psalmist was speaking here. This is the people that longs to see your face, because only in that longing and that desiring will we ever get there. And we will do so without fear. Now, people are afraid of pain, and I understand those kind of fear, but not the fear to see God face to face. And when we're talking about marriage in this gospel today, we're talking about a relationship that is a gift to each other, of a husband and wife here on earth. They're gift to each other, and they are more gift when each one of them longs to see God's face, because the more we are in God, the more we're able to love.
And they're selfless.
They become selfless, right, exactly, because God himself is selfless. So if you want to see selflessness, then look at God. If you want to see tenderness, look at God. If you want to look at forgiveness, look at God. So all of these things that we want to apply to our human relationships are begin and end in God. So to long to see his face is translated for us then in being kind to one another, in being tenderhearted to one another, and to be forgiving to one another, just as we have been forgiven. So I would just on this this Sunday just bring out that that prayer together with our Word of Life, that Lord, this is the people that longs to see your face. Can we really say that about ourselves? And if not, maybe we should take some time this week to really examine ourselves again, if we really do want to see God, and if we do, then how do we live our life? I mean, if you go back to last Sunday, to the Gospel of Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus longed to see the face of Jesus, not knowing that he was God. He found out later, obviously, in time. But he longed to see him. And it was in that seeing him and finding him that his life changed. And it's only in our longing to see God and our wanting to see Jesus that our life will change, mm-hmm. especially if we're not in the best place right now, if mm-hmm. we're that lost mm-hmm. soul, then long to see Jesus. St. Teresa of Avila used to say, desiring him is prayer itself. I mean, that's what prayer is.
That's right.
Longing to see, and to see God, to be with God, can only affect the relationships that we have, and especially our marriages. That it really brings God into that marriage. And that is what leads us to understand the true meaning of marriage, and that heaven is all of us together with God.
Mm-hmm. It's such a beautiful thought. Well, and I think, too, on an individual basis, that longing to see God, it when we start reflecting on it, we realize that everything that we have and all of our gifts come from God.
Right.
You know, we may think that we have a particular skill. Well, God gave us that skill.
Right. And I know this is Stewardship Sunday in our parishes. It's that. Otherwise, you know, sometimes we can look upon stewardship as making a donation and giving mm-hmm. a part of what we have, and sometimes thoughtlessly, in the sense that we just dig into the pocket and whatever's there, or maybe not what's
right.
Maybe we just give a part of what's there. But no, stewardship is really longing to see God's face and understanding that we are stewards of the gifts that God has given us. When we start taking possession, exclusive possession of things, of our talents, etc., and of our time, this is my time. No, it's God's time. That's a conversion of heart, and it's only in longing to see God that we can come to that understanding. Once we do, we realize that our life is a gift. Our time, talent, treasure is a gift from God. Let's be good stewards of those gifts and not try to possess any of them for ourselves.
And I think being good stewards, it makes you happy, makes you
exactly.
feel good.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that. What is that old commercial? Try it, you'll like it. I mean, if you haven't tried
right.
it, my dear friends, and I say this truthfully, if you've not tried stewardship, try it, you'll like it.
Mm-hmm. And we're getting into the time of the year where people think about giving and volunteering or whatever, and it's a wonderful time of the year to do it, but January through December are also wonderful times of the year to do it, not
right.
just November and December.
Exactly, yeah, certainly. You know, stewardship, as we say so often, is a way of life, not a one Sunday a year event or
time of the season.
It's a lifestyle.
Right.
And it helps us also to plan out our life better. I mean, I think when we don't live life consciously, in other words, we're really looking ahead and planning life out, then, you know, we just kind of offer ourselves a little bit of ourselves, a little time, what we can squeak out of our daily life and our week. So no, I mean, it's a way of life. And then you're able better to say yes and no. I mean,
exactly.
I can do this, I can't do that.
Right.
Because we're in not in possession of our life, but we are consciously aware of our life, that God has only given me 24 hours a day. And I need some of that to revitalize myself. So I have this left. I have a job. And so we were able to really examine life and say, how much time do I have to give?
Right.
And if I have a family, then that's another commitment. So stewardship is really looking at life consciously and with purpose. Many of us just get up and whatever happens, happens. But no, that's not life. That's not stewardship. Stewardship is a conscious effort to realize I want to give back to God what's left over. And I mean, shouldn't say it that way, but
well, we understand that.
You know, all those other things are part of it as well. And what is left over, I can give generously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But all of it's stewardship. All of it is gift.
Well, and we have a wonderful way of stewardship that's coming up on Tuesday, November the 12th.
Right, November 12th. I would really encourage all of you to get on the internet and give on the day of giving, the Coastal Bend Day of Giving. It's a wonderful event for so many people to be able to give to a multitude of wonderful organizations, nonprofits in our communities.
And I guess by way of, it's been going on for several years, but it's matched funding. There are
exactly.
Several foundations. I think there are 10 or 12 foundations that have given either
yeah,
five or 10,000.
Yeah.
It's grown because
two are anonymous. Yeah.
Yeah. So, there have been more foundations. And so
right.
They give dollars and then whatever we give gets matched.
They match it, right. So it's throughout the Coastal Bend, but I would really encourage everyone to pitch in, to make this a part of your day on Tuesday, and it will be matched.
Yes, yes. Well, of course, I do some volunteer work at Mother Teresa Shelter, and so Sister Rose wanted me to remind everybody about the Day of Giving.
Right. And dear Sister Rose, we know that you want everybody to profit from it. So,
and
there are many there.
There's some many wonderful other organizations.
We all have our favorites.
And there is and I think we need to say too, Bishop, is that there's no amount that's too small. $5 will be matched to $10.
It becomes 10, exactly.
Yes,
so
yes.
Everybody pitch in and let's help these wonderful organizations.
And it all adds up. So that's
right.
Tuesday and go. It's www.coastalbenddayofgiving.org. All right, Bishop, if you could close our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
Sure. Almighty and merciful God, graciously keep from us all adversity, so that unhindered in mind and body alike, we may pursue in freedom of heart the things that are yours, through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your day with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.